Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this late summer edition of the show. Now, even though summer's not quite over, most people have finished with, perhaps, their traveling for the year. But then again, this tends to be a good time for people to go and travel, because most people are back at work or back at school or whatever. Airlines drop their fares. Hotels have special rates. So maybe if you are going to go out schmutzering, as my people like to say, you want some tips and plans and ideas, but also things to avoid. And also, it's most fun to hear about the horror stories that other people have had when traveling. That's what really attracted me to the book. As soon as I saw the title of the book, I was like, okay, I need this to be on Dave's Gone By. The book is called A Stingray Bit My Nipple: True Stories from Real Travelers. And this book is compiled from a column that appears regularly in Budget Travel Magazine. That's a Frommer's publication. And rather than my talk about it or just go through the book and read some of these stories, we thought we'd have the copy chief of Budget Travel. His name is Tom Berger, and he's joining us. He's traveling by telephone to the neighborhood. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Dave.
Did you have a good trip getting here?
It's a fine phone connection.
So how long have you been with Frommer's?
About 2.5 years.
Okay. And where were you before? Were you just a traveler, or what was the deal?
Before that, I was teaching English, and I was a grad student.
Oh, cool. So you just, how did you get the Frommer's gig? They just knew you liked travel, or?
Well, I had done a lot of, I had done some classes based on travel writing, and being an English teacher is somewhat similar to being a copy editor in the way that you approach people's writing. I did a few freelance editing gigs and copy editing gigs in between the teaching and landing the job, and then they hired me. I was a freelancer for a little while, and then they hired me.
Now, what does the job mostly entail? Is it just going over other people's copy, or it seems like you also get to go places and write about it?
I do. Copy editors don't have to write, as most other editors do, but I like it, and I like getting the chances to travel and see different places and do a little bit of writing.
Well, what are some of the most exotic locations that you've been, be it for this position or just in general?
Well, in June, just for Budget Travel, I was in Alabama and then London.
Whoa, Alabama. Whoa. That's like the other end of the earth. Wow. Yeah.
And Alabama, I have to say, I had not been there in a number of years, but it was great.
Oh, good. Okay.
Good time.
You know, Alabama is very on the go. You know why? Because it's mobile. Yeah, thank you so much, folks. Just trying to goose this up, give it a little oomph, if you know what I'm saying. What about other places, exotic, or what's the favorite place that you have ever been?
That's tough. Although I have to say, I would go back. There are a number of places I would go back to in a heartbeat, but the one that springs to mind first is Istanbul.
Oh, not Constantinople.
Not Constantinople.
Istanbul, not Constantinople. Why Istanbul?
It's a really striking city. I mean, parts of it are quite beautiful, but even when it's not beautiful, it's just really striking. There's a mosque there called Yeni Cami, which means the new mosque.
Oh, okay.
And it's 500 years old.
Okay.
Drab 60s architecture. There's architecture from all these different centuries, and then my favorite building period is a church called the Hagia Sophia,
mm-hmm.
which was built in the 5th century.
Wow, okay.
So, and the food is fantastic.
So let me ask you, since we're going to spend most of this conversation involving in weird or crazy travel horror stories, what's your worst travel story personally?
Oh. Most of my travel stories, you know, most of my frustrations are the same minor ones that everyone faces. But I have to say, in camping, when I was learning how to camp, I learned how to camp basically all the wrong way.
Would you sleep on top of the tent? What do you mean?
No, just, well, the last time I was in Alabama was in, two friends and I were traveling across the country, and we decided we would camp, in southern Alabama, so this is July.
Oh.
It was incredibly hot.
Yeah.
One of my friends was sleeping in a hammock. And, like a little string hammock that he brought along.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the mosquitoes were eating them all night long.
Ow, yeah.
The other two of us were in a tent, but with two people in a tent, your body heat basically makes it. It's like an oven.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, sort of, like, we couldn't sleep. We're unbelievably hot. If we got out of the tent and we were being eaten alive by mosquitoes, we were up all night, you know, lying on the ground, writhing in agony until about 5 in the morning when the temperature cooled off, the mosquitoes went to sleep, the dew started to land on us. It was comical.
Let me tell you something. I've been camping once in my life. And it happened just last year. I went camping for the first time. I told all about it on the radio show. And we were down over at Merlefest, which is in one of those southern states. I don't quite remember. I think it's a Carolina of some sort. And, you know, it's sort of like a Woodstock, but for older and you know, more sleepy people. But the second day of our camping trip, when we were in this little outpost, I came down with a terrible, terrible cold. And let me tell you something. There's nothing there are worse things in the world, but in my world, there are a few things worse than being in the middle of a field in a tent on wet grass in the middle of the South with a miserable cold. So,
yeah.
Camping is not something I'm really going to be trying in the near future again. Probably in this lifetime.
It can be better than that. I will say that.
I guess. You have to be a different type of person. A better man than I, Tom Berger. Meow! I'm not an ordinary cat. I'm a copycat. I love to make copies. So my favorite place is Hewlett Minuteman Press. For 3 decades, they've been on Broadway in Hewlett, printing booklets, making business cards, designing wedding invitations, and making millions of copies. Meow! How good is Minuteman? Hey, I used to have one life. Now I've got 9. Hewlett Minuteman on Broadway opposite Lohman's. Tell them Toner the Copycat sent you for 10% off. Tom Berger is with us on WGBB on Dave's Gone By, and he is part of Budget Travel Magazine. He's their copy chief. And he's here to talk more specifically about the book, A Stingray Bit My Nipple, True Stories from Real Travelers. These are weird and crazy things that happened to people when they were traveling. So, first of all, we might as well go right to that title. Is there more to the story than that? I mean, that wasn't... please tell me that wasn't the crocodile hunter who said that.
That is the punchline, but the story is funny. A man wrote in and said, on a cruise from Tahiti, my wife and I opted for a snorkeling excursion.
Mm-hmm.
She kept insisting that I allow a man to dangle fish over me to see the stingray. I told her no several times before deciding that I should confront my fear.
Oh, God.
And you know that's where he went wrong.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
When I got next to the man with the fish, however, a stingray latched onto my nipple, creating an incredibly painful wound. The ship's doctor said he'd never heard of such an incident, adding that the underside of a female ray is white, and maybe when the male saw my belly, he tried to mate with me.
Oh, God. So, basically, we're being humped by a stingray.
Yes. And we've got a picture of it, which is amazing.
But I made a rather terrible joke about the crocodile hunter, but let's be happy it was just a female, because God knows what would have happened. Well, anyway, what are some of the other stories from the book about the weirdest, craziest, funniest things that have happened to people in their travails and travels?
Well, they fall into sort of several categories. One of them is, you know, the strange thing that we ate in another country.
Ah, yeah.
So we have grasshoppers, we have mice.
Wait, what country eats mice?
Let's find that one. The grasshopper one I have.
Well, I would figure a lot of countries have grasshoppers, because, you know, they're tasty and a good source of protein. But
I'm going to have to, that's going to take me a few minutes to look
Was it an accident, or are they like, oh, no, the mice are good today? Don't have the swordfish.
I hear it is mice jerky.
Mice jerky.
In Africa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So after spending two, this is the story. After spending 2 months in Africa, my husband and I invited my 20-year-old nephew to visit us in Malawi. Okay. Having never left his little town in Texas, he jumped at the chance.
Right.
Picked him up at the airport, complete with his macho attitude. After we stowed his luggage in the car, we told him we'd stop for a snack on the way home. My nephew, hungry from his long flight, was all for it. All the macho left him, however, when my hubby pulled over to buy a few dried mice from the guy who sells them on the road outside the airport.
Three,
we call them mice jerky.
Oh. Three dried mice. See how they taste. How did they taste?
Well, she didn't say, but I guess
she
guy did good business in them, so they probably tasted good.
Whoa. Hey, you know, people will... the thing is, people will eat anything if they're starving. It's just what people decide to eat by choice that is sometimes rather rather astonishing. Any other food stories that you went like, oh, dear?
We had one. This was this is a food story, but also it comes in the category of the kind of stupid mistake that I made when I was traveling.
Okay.
We did our own cooking when renting a house on Mexico's Solomon Bay. At the produce stand, there were several varieties of grains and nuts. One of the grains looked familiar, close to brown rice, and the vegetarian among us approved the choice. We cooked it for over an hour, but it still tasted oaky, so we cooked it longer and added seasoning. The property manager and the caretaker stopped in as we were about to eat. They were in awe of our ignorance. We had cooked a bag of birdseed.
Oh, I was thinking of something so much worse. I have to tell you, I'm glad. Birdseed, okay, that's kind of... What about something a little more scary? What about stories of being detained or searches or just fearing you'll never get out of the country alive kind of a thing?
Well, we did have one. This woman only feared that part of her wouldn't make it out of the country.
Oh, that sounds good, yeah.
A college student traveling in China... she says, while studying abroad in Beijing, I visited the Great Wall, but in a strange twist, I became the tourist attraction. The locals marveled at my long blonde hair and asked me to pose for countless photos. One vendor approached me and commented on my golden hair. I smiled and nodded. Golden hair, she said. I buy. I gave her a strange look and declined. She started offering me money. Not wanting to give up my hair, I kept refusing. She got agitated and walked away. I was heading back to the bus when she came chasing after me with a pair of scissors and yelling, golden hair, golden hair. I ran faster than I had run for a long time.
Okay. Did she win the 200 meters?
I think she probably did. Another set of world records.
Now, that's how they do it over there. Either they have someone, you know, gymnasts who are 2 years too young, or they've got the scissor method. It works. It's very, very effective, the Chinese have. So what are some other... fun and amusing. These are good stories, actually. From A Stingray Bit My Nipple, True Stories from Real Travelers. By the way, that's available from Andrews McMeel Publishing. And it's you'll find out more about it. Where is Budget Travel's website, which would be what?
BudgetTravel.com.
Oh, well, make that easy for me. BudgetTravel.com. We're talking with Tom Berger, who is the copy chief over there. So what are some other, you know, amazing tales of travails?
One of the ones that I really like, there's a whole category of kind of small world stories, but this one has a nice twist. In Athens, at the Parthenon, my husband and I asked two women if they would take our photo. When the women identified themselves as Michiganders, my husband responded that he'd grown up there, in Rochester. That's where I'm from, said one.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she was an elementary school teacher, to which my husband happily replied that his brother is an elementary school principal in Rochester and offered up his brother's name. Sure, I know him, she said. He just fired me.
So you knew it was kind of going there, but it went there so perfectly.
It's really amazing.
I like this one that was apparently from page 7 of the book. A woman wrote in, I met a pair of Iranian men, a businessman and his translator, while inside a store in China. You look like an Iranian woman, the translator said. Well, thank you, I replied, not exactly sure how to react. I'll take that as a compliment. looking me up and down, he said, no, don't. Well, I found that amusing.
I think I've got that one marked as well. I mean, it's just the kind of perfect thing that can happen. It can happen any day, but you tend to notice those things when they happen on a trip, and you're in a foreign place or outside your element, and then these things happen, and you just think that, what? What just happened to me?
We have a guest co-host on Dave's Gone By. His name is Jeff Goodman, and he travels, well, as often as he can. He travels quite a bit, and especially to China and environs. And I don't remember whether it was Thailand or China or Vietnam it might have been, but Jeff is a large person. He's pretty obese, I have to use. That's the technical word for it. And he's very jolly-looking, almost Buddha-esque. And there is, when he went to one place, he was at the airport, and people started smiling at him and taking pictures of him, and they weren't even making fun of him. That culture, because they're so tiny, seemed to view him as a kind of a good luck charm. So everywhere he went, people would laugh and point, but it wasn't like they were being mean or making fun like they would in America. They would just be like, oh, it was as if Buddha was walking down the street or something like that. It was kind of neat. So the cultures are just kind of weird that way. Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Hi, this is Tom Berger of Arthur Frommer's Budget Travel Magazine, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By.
Well, we have just a couple more minutes here with Tom Berger. Give us some more good stories, please, from A Stingray Bit My Nipple.
Well, I have one since you mentioned the Buddha. A woman writes in and says, my coworker Craig, who is 6 feet 11 inches tall, got a lot of attention when we were traveling through China. He actually appeared to believe he was some sort of royalty. We were having fun with his celebrity status, allowing the locals to join us in pictures, until we ran into a middle-aged woman who was clearly unimpressed. In broken English, she asked Craig who he was and what he did for a living. He claimed to be a famous basketball player. She shook her head and waved him away. He asked why she didn't believe him. You know basketball players, she said. You fat like Buddha.
And they tend to speak their mind over there, don't they? There's just a certain different... There's no veil. Everybody thinks New Yorkers are rude and mean, but comparatively, no. We tend to be nice to them. Are you from New York, by the way?
Only for the past 3 years. I'm from Virginia.
Oh, cool. Okay. And well, what do you think of New York as opposed to Virginia, since you're a travel kind of person?
I think people are more polite here than is probably the opinion outside the city. But I guess the difference would be in most places in Virginia, outside of northern Virginia, if you're just walking down the street, for example, you just say hello to people, whether you know them or not.
Hmm.
And obviously there are too many people here. I mean, if you're going to pass several thousand people a day, you can't be saying hello all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't really get very far if you did that. By the way, we do have 1 or 2 minutes, and I wanted to also ask, since this probably, I've heard that this would be a good time if people do have the time and money to travel, now that we've gotten through the summer and Labor Day and all that. Any suggestions? I mean, is this September, October a good time for deals and a good time to go places?
It depends. I mean, one of the things that you want to do usually that I really like to do is travel off-season.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that you want to do, so this is off-season, we're getting into the off-season in Europe, but the dollar is still very weak against the euro.
Right.
So if you're interested in going to Mexico or to South America, this can be a really good time for that, because relatively speaking, your dollar is going to go farther once you get there.
Let me ask about airline travel also, because it's just to me, I haven't even traveled that much, but I just get the sense that over the past 10 years, it's been sliding downward when it really should have been getting better. Do you think it's going to continue to be lousy and get lousier just because of economics?
It depends on the airline. I mean, some airlines, without admitting it, you know, Ryanair, which is a low-cost carrier in Europe, Mm-hmm. Basically, like, they're up front. They'll say, look, this is a bus that happens to fly. So they have rock-bottom prices, but it's not, you know, it's not, you know, like travel, like air travel used to be, where you would sort of think, oh, this is a really special thing. They're basically saying, we're a bus in the sky.
Got it.
You know, United is about to cut, it's about to cut free meals on overseas flights, on flights from D.C.
Amazing.
So you can buy a sandwich for $9, or you can bring your own food. But, I mean, that's basically a bus.
Yeah, and bring your own food on an overnight flight means it's got to be, you know, out of a refrigerator for about 15 hours before you get to eat it.
Well, you know, we did have a one-page piece on how to make a sandwich so that it can survive, so that you can eat it 4 hours later and it'll still be good.
Oh,
and people can find that on our website also.
Oh, a teaser. Oh, you're not going to tell us. You're going to make us go to the website, budgettravel.com, to find out how to make an endurable sandwich, a sandwich you could take into space with you, orbit the Earth, come back, take a piano lesson, go swimming, have a shower, and then eat that sandwich. And it won't kill you.
It'll be good.
Exactly. Well, speaking of being good, thank you, Tom Berger, for being so good in the neighborhood, telling us about budgettravel.com and the book A Stingray Bit My Nipple.
Thanks for having me.